بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. In this session we continue with another one of the observations upon Muhammad Hijab, and the observations are many. But in this session we look at that which is related to the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no doubt that the aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah concerning the companions is wadiha. Their aqeedah, their belief, is one that is crystal clear. As Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, وَنُحِبُّ أَصْحَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَلَا نُفْرِطْ فِي هُبِّ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نَتَبَرَّأْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. He mentions that we love the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and we do not go into extremism concerning loving any one of them, as is the case with the Shia Rafida, who have excessive love for Ali radiallahu anhu, to the extent that some of them have raised him, like the Alawis, to a station that they consider him Allah upon the earth. Rather, لا نفرط في حب أحد منهم. We don't go into extremism concerning loving any one of them. ولا نتبرأ من أحد منهم. Neither do we free ourselves from any one of them, as they do with Muawiyah رضي الله عنه وأرضاه, and with others from among the companions of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rather, he mentions, ونبغض من يبغضهم وبغير الخير يذكرهم ولا نذكرهم إلا بخير. He said, and we hate those who hate them. نبغض من يبغضهم, and we hate those who hate them. وبغير الخير يذكرهم, and those who mention them with other than خير. This is our belief, أيها الإخوة. This is what we have as عقيدة. And then he mentions, وهبهم دين وإيمان وإحسان. Loving them is deen, and iman, and ihsan. وبغضهم كفر ونفاق وطغيان. And hating them is kufr. Hating them is kufr. ونفاق, and hypocrisy, and طغيان, and it is transgression. That is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah concerning the companions رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. And indeed the statements of the Salaf of this Ummah concerning them are many. Therefore, it is of concern to any individual that he is a da'i attributing himself to Salafiyya that falls into that which opposes this principle, this well-established foundation with Ahlul Sunnah. In one of the debates that Muhammad Hijab has with an individual who is Shi'i, a hater of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he falls into acquiescing and agreeing with some of the falsehood and the batil that this individual from among the Shia has mentioned concerning some of the companions رضوان الله عليهم, from them our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, from them the Katib al-Wahi, the one who wrote the Wahi, wrote the revelation down, the scribe of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu wa ardaah. The statements of this individual, ayyuhal ikhwa, were statements that cut the very soul of the believer to hear anyone uttering such batil and such evil statements concerning our beloved companions, ridwanullahi alayhim, and our mother, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. And thus, ikhwan, we bring to your attention the agreement of Muhammad Hijab to the statement of this Rafidi Shi'i who speaks ill of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in relation to a debate that he has with this individual. First and foremost, we see him having the same reliance upon intellect that he has in his discussion of Allah Azza wa Jal, when he discusses the affairs of Tawheed and establishing that Allah Azza wa Jal exists. the same usage of intellect and of philosophical reason and logic. We find him using these same principles when it comes to the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were discussing that which is connected to the dispute that occurred among the companions and the two well-known battles that occurred, the battle of Siffin and the battle of the Jamal, that he mentions and returns the debate or the affair or the dispute between them back to intellect. And we see him and hear him using the same logical, philosophical style reasoning as it relates to the companions Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'een, that their dispute was one that was logical, their dispute was one that was understandable as it relates to the affairs of logic. He mentions, for example, that the dispute between Ali and Muawiyah and the dispute between Ali and Aisha radiallahu anha, they discuss it. And he mentions as it relates to Muawiyah and Ali, then there's a logical reason for the dispute that took place and that occurred. Our belief concerning the dispute that occurred between Muawiyah and Ali radiallahu anhum and between Aisha radiallahu anha, Talha, Zubair and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'een, was that each and every one of them was upon ijtihad. All of them made ijtihad to come to that which was correct, and they strove to come to correctness. None of them had evil intent or shar. None of them had desired evil in any way. Rather, each and every one of them desired khair. After the assassination of Uthman radiallahu anhu, a group from among the companions saw that the blood of Uthman should be avenged immediately, while a group from among the companions saw that the Khilafah should be established, the seat of the Khilafah should be established, and then the blood of Uthman would be avenged. And so none of them disputed about these two affairs except upon the issue of which of the two should be given precedence. Should it be that the blood of Uthman should be avenged and then we establish the seat of the Khilafah, or should we establish the Khilafah and then avenge the blood of Uthman? As far as that which is connected to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he saw that the blood of Uthman should be avenged. Likewise, Aisha radiallahu anha, Talha and Zubair, they similarly agreed that the blood of Uthman should be avenged, alongside them seeking to rectify between Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And so the affair then returned back to ijtihad that they had. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she embarked upon setting out to attempt to settle the dispute, that was her intention, nothing but islah, rectification, though she agreed that the blood of Uthman should be avenged. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, his intent of course was the avenging of the blood of Uthman. Yes, there was something of a relation between Muawiyah and Uthman, but it wasn't because of the relation that he sought that the blood of Uthman should be avenged. This is something that should be clear. It wasn't because of relation that he sought that the blood of Uthman should be avenged. This is Uthman radiallahu anhu, dhun-nurayn, the possessor of two lights, the one who married the daughters of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, married two of the daughters of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who was the third Khalifa of the Muslimin and the third Khalifa Rashida of the Prophet ﷺ. This then was someone that they saw we shouldn't hesitate in establishing the Khilafah, and they saw after establishing the affair of retribution, But Muawiyah radiallahu anhu saw that establishing the Khilafah had in it something from delaying what should be given precedence. But when Muhammad Hijab, he discusses the affair of the Khilafah and the dispute, we hear him returning the affair back to this intellectual reasoning, and he does it more than once. For example, and you can hear in the statement of this Rafidi is that he's not a Rafidi Shi'i who is seeking khair and who is and has adab with the companions Ridwanullahi alayhim. Rather, he makes no bones about making it clear that he has disdain for them and doesn't agree with them and believes that they had su' and bad intent. So he said their personality becomes unreliable.
Between someone, and you've admitted this yourself, they have a rational reason to seek retribution, revenge.
But I didn't believe they would.
So again, he argues they have a rational reason, any logical reason to seek revenge.
Say that before.
Yeah, I said I don't believe they were after that though.
Okay, but you'd have to substantiate that with evidence.
No, you have to substantiate that they were clear.
So again, the affair, as we mentioned and reiterate, the affair he disputes from a rational standpoint. It was logical and rational that Muawiyah should avenge the blood of Uthman. Again, we have another statement.
Him and Aisha decided, this was their decision. They said, we think that Uthman ibn Affan, his death should be avenged. Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was next in line in terms of successors, said no, this will create more problems and we don't want this kind of issues in the Islamic world. Both of those are rational opinions. Do you see what I mean? Both of those are opinions which can be substantiated using rational.
And again, we find an error in this statement because he mentions here that Ali radiallahu anhu said no, we don't want these types of issues. That this will create more problems. In fact, Ali radiallahu anhu agreed that the blood of Uthman should be avenged, but that the seat of the Khilafah should be established first. Again,
both of those are rational opinions.
Both of those are rational opinions.
You see what I mean? Both of those are opinions which can be substantiated using rational sane faculties. It's not ridiculous opinion.
So the affair is not a ridiculous opinion. It can be substantiated using sane faculties. Again, as though everything needs to return back to logic and aql. And that is, this is not to say that our deen does not consider things and affairs being logical, or that logic is something that is utilized in the religion. There is no dispute concerning that. But the affair, ayyuhal ikhwa, first and foremost returns back to the kitab and the sunnah. And as Ali radiallahu anhu himself said, if the deen was by way of aql, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have wiped the bottom of his khuf, of his sock, then the top. But I saw the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam wipe the top of his sock, which indicates that the deen is not based upon aql. And when we nurture the ummah, and we nurture the students of knowledge and our young generation upon believing that everything has to have a logical explanation. And this is the issue here. That everything has to have a logical explanation. What do they do with those texts that they cannot find a logical explanation and a logical reason for why we do and carry out such and such an affair? If we can't explain it logically, it is going to create a problem. If we believe that it must be logical. Another example. So here again, he reasons using logic concerning that which occurred. Was Uthman killed? He says first and foremost.
Okay, is there a causal familial link between Muawiyah and Uthman?
So secondly, and after he builds his premise, he develops his argument. It was there, secondly, a causal link between Muawiyah and Uthman. Yeah, was there a relation, some form of family link and relation?
Yes. Okay.
Yes, there was. Okay.
Two.
So 1-2. Again, this logical use of logical reasoning to establish affairs, ikhwan, that don't necessarily return back to logic. When these affairs return back to text. That is, the companions, Ridwan Allah alayhim, they were working with what they understood from the sunnah. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was working with what he understood from the sunnah in relation to the blood of one who is killed, in particular someone who is of the status of Uthman. Aisha radiallahu anha, Talha and Zubayr, they were likewise looking at the affair of Islah and rectification and the great station that has in the book and the sunnah. And likewise that which is related to avenging the blood of Uthman. Ali radiallahu anhu was looking at that which is related to the khilafah and leadership and the many texts that have occurred in relation to leadership and the fact that the ummah is in need and has to have an established, yani settled khilafah in order for the ummah to arrange their affairs correctly. Rather than leaving the affair in disarray, it must be established. That returns back to text. So all of them, their positions were based upon text, not hawa or desires or avenging the blood of Uthman purely because of the fact that he's a relative of mine. These were issues, ikhwan, bearing in mind that Muawiyah was a governor. And being a governor, one of the governors of Uthman, then he is likewise considering the affair of the ummah generally, not just the individual personal affair of this being my relative. But hey, this is Uthman, this is the Khalifa. And so it doesn't follow, and it's not something that we return back to logic. And it does not have to return back to logic. So was there a causal link, family link between Muawiyah and Uthman?
Yes. Okay, the 2-1-2.
Two, one, two.
Does it follow that someone who's linked in that, to someone else in that way would want revenge for that person?
One of his character.
So does it follow that someone who has a relation would want revenge for that person? And so he returns the dispute purely back to, this was a family member of mine, and so I am avenging his blood. Wabas. And that's logical. That's a logical explanation, a logical reason. And then listen to the statement of this Shi'i. He said, well, Muawiyah's character was shady, so it doesn't leave me to believe that he would do something on good intent. So we hear then that the debate, it revolves around even, I mean, here, as we mentioned, we're not dealing with an issue related to Allah Azza wa Jalla and the belief in Allah. We're dealing with an issue here related to the companions. Yet still this same affair of logic is employed in the issue. Throughout the debate, we hear this individual returning back to various statements of ta'an, various statements of dishonor and dispraising the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and unfortunately, disappointingly, we hear Muhammad Hijab agreeing with the statements, these evil statements that has come from this individual. Listen to some of what he agrees to.
Coming to the original issue, yes, we're talking about Jamal al-Safin. You admitted to say that they were in falsehood.
Yes.
So here he's speaking about the Battle of Siffin. In fact, if we mention, or if we play this section first.
Sure, what went down in history. We're not sure what went down in history. But when When you ask me whether he's a Muslim or not, we're not sure what went down in history.
So when you ask me whether he's a Muslim or not, we're not sure what went down in history.
When you ask me, it's difficult to answer whether it happened or not. I treat them as Muslim, but I believe they were deviated.
I treat them as Muslim, but I believe that they were deviated.
Okay, fine.
Our response from Muhammad Hijab, the response that we hear, okay, fine. Now you may say, well, no, he may just be saying, for argument's sake, fine. Well, let us see if that is the case.
A deviated Muslim, yeah? No problem, at least it's better than
coming onto the original.
Okay, deviated Muslim, no problem. It's better than what was being said previously. And what is, what it was that was being said previously, we will come to. We look at another statement and another instance of agreement.
Okay, the last one. I also asked him another question.
Yes.
And I said, do you believe they received sin?
Who?
Muawiyah, in the Battle of Siffin.
Yeah, he said no. Yeah, no, actually.
He said that they made a mistake, but he was unwilling.
He said, yes, did they receive sin? Did Muawiyah, during the Battle of Siffin, did he receive sin? He said, yes, you can say so. He agrees. You can say so. Yes, why not? Why not?
Say that they had sinned.
Okay, they sinned, no problem. Aisha made a stiff.
He said, yes, they sinned, no problem. And in fact, he substantiates the claim by saying that Aisha radiallahu anha made istighfar. Na'am, there are some narrations that Aisha nadimat, that she was regretful about what happened. Of course, ikhwan, something that led to the spitting of blood, something that led to fighting, is something naturally that any believer is going to regret. Yani being involved in that, even if their intents were good. Yani that perhaps one would have wished that they didn't embark upon what they embarked upon, though they knew that their intents were good. And so the fact that she regretted what occurred doesn't necessitate that she was sinful concerning what had occurred.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And she actually does a hadith.
And so we hear how pleased this Rafidhi is, alhamdulillah. Yani here we have agreement. Why? Because he was arguing with someone previously who didn't agree. Who didn't agree that they were sinful. And didn't agree. Yani, the one who held the correct position of Ahl Sunnah. And so here he brings the same argument to Muhammad Hijab. And we hear him agreeing. Yes, correct. You're right.
You've sinned. Muawiyah in the Battle of Siffin.
He said no. Yeah, no, actually.
And so again, after him being pleased with the outcome and the result, yes, we get agreement. Yes, okay, they were sinful. They were wrong. They were sinful. And we even get some extra benefit that we didn't know before, that, oh, well, Aisha made istighfar, khalas. That's an extra benefit for him. We then have him saying that she went on to do other things as well. Our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha, she went on to do other things as well. And so, though Muhammad Hijab didn't agree necessarily to those other things, we do have an agreement here to that which any Rafidi can pick up and base and build arguments upon. Again.
He said, then why do you do takfir on Imam, on Muawiyah, for example?
Yeah.
I said, I don't do takfir. I just believe he was batil.
Now, he said, this is referring back to an argument in this debate that he had. He said, why do you make takfir of Muawiyah? He said, I don't make takfir of Muawiyah. I just believe that he was batil. He was upon batil.
He said, then why do you do takfir on Imam, on Muawiyah, for example?
Yeah.
I said, I don't do takfir. I just believe he was batil. Imam Ali was on haq.
Okay.
I follow him.
Okay.
So I believe he was on batil. Ali was upon the haq. And I follow him.
Okay, no problem.
That was my...
Okay, no problem. Muhammad Hijabi responded.
No problem. Okay, the
sa'at's not... No, there is every problem with that statement. Kif, no problem, ya Muhammad. Ajib.
I also asked him another question.
Yes.
And I said, do you believe they received sin?
Who?
Muawiyah in the Battle of Siffin.
Yeah, he could say so.
Yeah, no, Aisha.
Yeah, she could say so. Why not? Yes, Aisha, yani, she made tawbah and she made istighfar. The fact that I make istighfar for an affair that occurred does not necessitate that I was sinful in relation to that affair. And the two do not follow. Another example.
Yes, we're talking about Jamal and Safin. You admitted to say that they were in falsehood.
Yes,
they were bought.
And so you admitted now that he has this approval, and him admitting, he bases now and builds his argument.
Coming to the original issue, yes, we're talking about Jamal and Safin. You admitted to say that they were in falsehood.
Yes,
they were bought.
Yeah, they were on the falsehood. Yeah.
So he clearly now says it. It wasn't just that he was agreeing for argument's sake. He clearly now says they were on falsehood. Yes, falsehood. Yes, naam. Batil.
Should I follow them?
They were not on the haq.
So why should I follow them?
So why should I follow them then? Why should I follow them? They were not on the haq, Muhammad Hijab mentions. So therefore, this Shaf Shi'i he mentions. So therefore, why should I follow them? Why?
Because on that, don't follow them on this.
No.
Don't follow them on this.
That is a critical point.
Don't follow them on this.
That shows...
No, don't follow them on this. But then listen to what he said.
Personality is towards the Prophet's family.
He said this shows what their personality is in relation to the Prophet's family. Yani that they fell into batil, they were willing to partake in that which was clearly batil and sin against the family of the Messenger of Allah. Can we see where this khabith is going with this argument? So because they fought them, everything becomes unreliable. Everything becomes unreliable. They fought against the companions of the Messenger, fought against Ali, radiallahu anhu, and everything else then, we can't rely upon. And so this individual goes as far as to make every accusation against them other than takfir, other than saying that they are kuffar. And we see Muhammad Hijab, he agrees and agrees and agrees, as long as you're not making takfir of them. As long as you're not making takfir of the Mi'ahi, listen to the statement. So what's the issue? After all of these statements, after everything he said about Muawiyah radiallahu an, about Aisha radiallahu anha, okay, so what's the issue? Well, there's no issue. So if there's no issue and they're not kuffar, alhamdulillah, I'm happy. Similar to our debates that we hear with the atheists. Just as long as you believe in a necessary existence, khalas, I'm happy. As though that is Islam. Okay, khalas, as long as you're not saying that they're kuffar, I'm happy. Ajeeb hadha al-rajul. And this is the Muhammad Hijab that everybody's getting excited about. Wallahi ajeeb.
So
they're not kuffar, alhamdulillah, khalas. That is good. And so the affair then, it is something, ikhwan, that is wallahi ajeeb. That someone who is grounded in the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah concerning the companions of the Messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could possibly utter statements in agreement to this khubth and to this evil. Let us look at some of the statements of the Salaf of this Ummah in relation to this Mas'ala. In relation to the affair, we look at the statement of Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, from the Tabi'een, he said, قِتَالٌ شَهِدَهُ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَغِبْنَا وَعَلِمُوا وَجَهِلْنَا وَاجْتَمَعُوا فَاتَّبَعْنَا وَاخْتَلَفُوا فَوَقَفْنَا. He said, fighting that was witnessed by the companions of the Messenger of Allah, and we were absent. And they knew, and we were ignorant. And they gathered and came together, and so we followed them. And they differed, and so waqafna, and so we refrain. It is on the basis of the likes of this statement that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah actually held that in relation to those who were present during the dispute and the debate, there were three groups. And he mentions the best group was the group that refrained from involvement. That was the best group. And there were a number of them, Ibn Umar, Abi Huraira, a number of companions who refrained from any involvement. Then we had those in relation to the dispute itself who were upon the truth and upon the haqq. And that is the group and the ta'ifa of Ali radiallahu anhu And then we had those who made ijtihad, and their ijtihad was what is referred to by the scholars as ذو أجر واحد. It was an ijtihad that is and has one reward. And so they strove to come to that which was correct. But the position of Ali radiallahu anhu was better and more correct, and was closer to what was sound. And so the statement then that they were upon batil, they were upon falsehood, is batil. Similarly, we have the statement of Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala. He mentions when he was asked concerning what occurred between them, he said, ما أقول فيهم إلا الحسنى. He said, I do not say concerning them other than حسنى, other than good. Similarly, we have the statement of Al-Imam Ibn Battah rahimahullahu ta'ala, who mentions, وَمِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ نَكُفُّ عَمَّا شَجْرَ بَيْنَ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَدْ شَهِدُوا الْمَشَاهِدِ مَعَ وَسَبَقُوا النَّاسَ بِالْفَضْلِ فَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ وَأَمَرَكَ بِالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ لَهُمْ وَالتَّقَرُّبِ إِلَيْهِمْ بِمُحَبَّتِهِمْ وفرد ذلك على لسان نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يعلم ما سيكون منهم وأنهم سيفتنون وإنما فضلوا على سائر الخلق لأن الخطأ والعمد قد وضع عنهم وكل ما شجر بينهم مغفور لهم. He mentions, and from after that, yani after that which has occurred between them, nakuf, we refrain from that which occurred between them from dispute between the companions of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For indeed they were present at all of the battles and the mashahid of the Messenger of Allah, and they preceded the people to fadl, to virtue. And Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven them, and He has commanded you to make istighfar for them, and that you draw close to Him by loving them. And He has legislated that upon the tongue of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and He knew what would occur from trials, and that which would occur after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And indeed, they were given virtue over the rest of the people, because their errors and their amd, their mistakes and their errors, their khata, then they were removed and lifted from them. And everything that occurred by way of dispute among them is forgiven for them. What was the statement of the great Imam Abu Uthman al-Sabuni? He mentioned in his book, Aqidatu Salaf Ashab al-Hadith, وَيَرَوْنَ السَّلَفْ وَأَصْحَابِ الْحَدِيثِ الكف عما شجر بين أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتطهير الألسنة عن ذلك ما يتضمن عيبا لهم ونقصا فيهم ويرون الترحم على جميعهم والموالاة لكافتهم. He mentions that the Salaf and the companions of Hadith, the pious predecessors and the companions of Hadith, they saw that we should refrain from that which occurred by way of dispute among the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that we purify our tongues from mentioning that which necessitates or has in it عيب لهم, yani speaking ill of them, dispraising them, defaming them, and نقص فيهم, and belittling them or slighting them. And they see that we make tarahum, that we seek and ask Allah's mercy for all of them, or upon all of them. وَالْمُوَالَاتْ لِكَافَتِهِمْ, and that we have allegiance to all of them. The statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions in Al-Aqidatul Al-Wasitiyah, and this without doubt, Ikhwan, is from the no doubt basic text in Aqidah that the believer he studies. And this aqeedah is present within it. So what is it that Muhammad Hijab is not catching from this Aqeedah? And which of the books of Aqeedah has he studied? And why has he missed this point and this important yani asl from the usul of Ahlus Sunnah? Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, he mentions in Aqeedah al-Wasitiyya, he mentions, in particular in his discussion of that which occurred between the companions, he mentions, وَيُمْسِكُونَ عَمَّا شَجَرَ بَيْنَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْآثَارَ الْمَرْوِيَّةِ فِي مَسَاوِئِهِمْ مِنْهَا مَا هُوَ كَذِبْ وَمِنْهَا مَا قَدْ زِيدَ فِيهِ وَنُقِصْ وَغُيِّرَ عَنْ وَجْهِهِ وَالصَّحِيحِ مِنْهُ هُمْ فِيهِ مَعْذُورُونَ إِمَّا مُجْتَهِدُونَ مُصِيبُونَ وَإِمَّا مُجْتَهِدُونَ مُخْطِئُونَ. He mentions that indeed we refrain from that which occurred among and between the companions, any of dispute. And they say, that is Ahlus Sunnah, they say that indeed these athar, these narrations that have occurred, that have in them a mention of masawi, yani of that which would necessitate slighting them, or some sort of disparagement of them, then they are either kadhib, they are either false narrations, or there has been an increase in them, or something taken away from them. وَغُيِّرَ عَنْ وَجْهِهِ, and they have been changed from that which is correct. And what is correct though from those narrations is that they are ma'dhurun, they are excused for what occurred between them. إِمَّا مُجْتَهِدُونَ مُصِيبُونَ, they were either people who strove and made ijtihad to come to what was correct, and they were right in that. وَإِمَّا مُجْتَهِدُونَ مُخْتِئُونَ, or they were mujtahidun who erred. They were people who strove to come to what was correct, but they erred in terms of their conclusion. And wallahi, ikhwan, the statements of Ahlul Sunnah, the statements of the great A'imma in relation to this, these statements are many, numerous athar, numerous narrations, that we refrain from that which occurred between them, and we do not speak ill of them. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions, وَاتَّفَقَ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ على وجوب منع الطعن في أحد من الصحابة بسبب ما وقع لهم من ذلك ولو عرف المحق منهم لأنهم لم يقاتلوا في تلك الحروب إلا عن اجتهاد بل ثبت أنه يؤجر أجرا واحدا وأن المصيب يؤجر أجرين. He mentions here that there is unity among Ahlul Sunnah upon the compulsory nature of refraining from speaking ill of any one of the companions because of what occurred between them, as this individual in this debate does, and Muhammad agrees. وَلَوْ عُرِفَ الْمُحِقِّ مِنْهُمْ, even if we know who was right from them. Why? لِأَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوا فِي تِلْكَ الْحُرُوبِ إِلَّا عَنْ اجْتِهَادٍ, because they didn't fight in these battles except on the basis of ijtihad, of striving to come to what was correct. بَلْ ثَبَتَ أَنَّهُ يُؤْجَرْ أَجْرًا وَاحِدًا, in fact it is established that they are rewarded, yani each individual from them is rewarded with one reward, yani for their striving. وَأَنَّ الْمُصِيبُ يُؤْجَرْ أَجْرَيْنَ, and that the one who is correct from them is given two rewards. And ikhwan, the statements of our Salaf are many. The one who is acquainted with the Aqeedah of the Salaf of this Ummah would know them, would be acquainted with them, and would never acquiesce and agree to this falsehood, this khubth, in relation to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahi, disappointing, ikhwan. We round up with this session on that note. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide our brother back to the sawab, guide him in relation to these most fundamental and important issues. For indeed, these are no jokes, ikhwan. These are not things that we laugh and joke about and that we acquiesce about, or that we refer to the one who makes these evil statements as our Habib. As we find Muhammad Hijab in this debate, throughout the debate, He refers to this individual as Habibi, Habibi, Habibi. While Imam al-Tahawi, he mentions, وَنُبْغِضُ مَنْ يُبْغِضُهُمْ وَبِغَيْرِ الْخَيْرِ يَذْكُرُهُمْ. We hate the one who hates them and mentions them with other than khayr. But we find him Habibi, Habibi, Habibi. You may say it's a figure of speech, but here we have fundamental aqeedah issue. This man is speaking ill of our mother, speaking ill of the one who wrote the wahi. And throughout the debate, we refer to him as Habibi, 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 as though he is a jahil, ignorant individual seeking guidance. La. This man is staunch upon his position. And we hear examples of this Habibi, Habibi throughout the debate. So the Habib of Muhammad Hijab, not the Habib of Ahlul Sunnah, Barakallahu Feekum. Nasallahu Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Yawafiqana Wa Iyakum Lima Yuhibbuhu Wa Yirudah. Wa Sallallahu Wa Sallam Wa Barak Ala Nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa Akhir Da'wana Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.